A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons, and my special guest is Friary folk group leader, nurse, counsellor, Deirdre O'Sullivan. Deirdre O'Sullivan, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Thank you, Mary. It's a pleasure to be here and to be chatting with you this morning.
Now, just to set the scene, Deirdre, I'm here in your own house outside Killarney in Muckers, and it's absolutely lovely. And you're nursing a little dog there. What's the name of the dog?
Sadie. This is Sadie O'Sullivan. She's a little Jack Russell and she's 11 years old. And she was diagnosed with cancer a few weeks ago. So she's on steroids. She's in palliative care here at home. And she's kind of like sticking plaster. She needs to be on my knee or close by at all times.
How are you feeling about the fact she only has a little time left?
Oh, I have been heartbroken, to be honest. She is my companion since my husband died. She goes everywhere with me. She's here when I come home in the evening. She's with me in the morning when I get up. So, yeah, very, very upset initially. And my vet says he's giving me a soft landing. So he's treating her with steroids and other medication, and they are keeping the symptoms under control for the moment.
Nowadays, you know, even the Pope has mentioned that people can treat their pets like children or grandchildren. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on that when you have a little dog here that you love?
She is a companion. I mean, she is, to me, not maybe as important as my grandchildren, but she is very important in my life. Always had a dog. They can be soul companions. You know, here she's with me at a particular time in my life as a support, really. Yeah. So I really believe that.
Do you think people treat their dogs like humans nowadays?
I think it is important to remember that they are an animal. Some people, you know, don't treat them very well either. Yes, it's to get the balance. I would be accused by my children of having spoiled her rotten, really. Yeah.
Well, you probably spoiled your children and your grandchildren, yeah, for all I know.
Well, if you look around the sitting room here, my house is full of toys. There is a doll's house and there's a box of Lego under the chair, and the kitchen is full of toys as well.
The sort of house I love to come in, to tell you the truth.
Yes, yeah, yeah. It's a happy house, and the kids love, the children, my grandchildren love coming.
Deirdre, let's take people back a little bit. Where did it all begin? Where are you born and what kind of a family are you coming from?
So I was born in Aberdeen in Scotland in 1958. My dad and my mom got married the year previously, and he got a job with Avery Scales in Aberdeen in Scotland. They moved from Dublin. They both were Dublin people. So they moved to set up home in Aberdeen. Myself, my brother Jerry and my brother Kevin were born there in Aberdeen.
You came back to Ireland and Dublin.
We came back to Dublin in 1963. My dad had been transferred then to a job in Cork again for Avery Scales. And we lived with my grandmother and my aunt for the summer of 1963 while he looked for a house for us in Cork.
Where did you spend most of your childhood, Deirdre?
We lived in Cork then from 1963 to 1968, 5 years. And I started school in Skulnave Katrina there on Bishopstown Avenue. And then in 1968, we moved to Dublin. My dad was transferred again to Dublin. And I spent from then until I went nursing. I went nursing in 1977. We lived in Talla. The Dominican Priory would have been at the heart of our lives, really, in Talla.
Beautiful. And when you say Avery Scales, what do they do?
So Avery's the weighing scales. The weighing scales, you would have bought your meat would have been weighed in, or your sweets would have been weighed in, or the animals would have been weighed in, the weigh bridges. So he worked for, all his life, he worked for that company.
When he moved around, did that have an impact on your childhood?
It did, I think. I mean, particularly moving from Cork to Dublin, because we had Cork accents and we were moving to Dublin. That was difficult because we got awful slagging over our accents in Dublin. Not so much from Aberdeen because we weren't in school straight away, but it was a bit unsettling. I missed Cork when I left Cork. I was only 10. But we used to walk down to the Bats, down on that long road as you come into Cork. We had a lot of freedom in Cork, and going to the library on the bus. And like, we were only 5 and 6 and 7, do you know? small ones. You wouldn't do it now. But we settled in Talla, and I was happy there once we settled. We went to school there, joined the junior choir in the Priory. That evolved into the Talla Choral Society, which is still going. Singing was a big part of our lives in Talla, and I was in a little group called Harmony 5, and we won Sloga and different competitions. Singing has always been a big part of my life.
Still is. You're involved with the folk group in the Friary as well, all down through these years.
Music and singing, it just has always been part of my life. That was where I was comfortable. I was a nice singer. My mother wanted me to have my voice trained. So whatever my mother wanted, if she said it was black, I'd say it was white. So I was very rebellious. And so I wouldn't go and have my voice trained.
It's time for a piece of music from the Friary group.
It's Only in God. It's a beautiful psalm. What has been a great support to me is my faith. Yeah. The first to do Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
We did it twice. I did it in school and the local community with the Salesians. Yes. We loved it. Yes, what part did you have?
So I was part of the choral part of it. It was performed in the Dominican Priory in Talla, and Gerard Manning was a student at the time in Talla. He was in charge of us. Yeah.
Being involved like that, I know myself being involved in what was called the talent at home in our place and involved those shows. It was like our life. It meant so much to us. What was it like for you?
Yeah, it was the same. Very natural, very normal thing to be doing. All my friends sang. It was, and it still is, my main, it's a hobby, but it's more than that. Yeah.
Were your parents proud of you singing?
Yes, they were. Yes, yes. My auntie Sheila, she worked in RTE and she was friends with Paul Brady. And I remember we visited their flat, Leeson Street, one time. My mother wanted me to sing for them and I was dying with embarrassment. I was very happy singing in the folk group or in the choir, but not on show, if you like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there was always a bit of tension there between me and my mom around that.
Career choice, nursing.
So I went nursing, but my first love was animals, and I worked on the farm in Talla. The Dominicans had their own dairy farm, and they had cereal farm down in Strafford, and beef. They used to fatten cattle as well. And from the time I was about 15 or 16, I was working up there. One of the priests, Father Jim Dunleavy, had a pony, always had a pony, and I looked after the pony for him as well. So I worked on that farm when I finished school. Didn't want to do anything else, but my mother went to everyone she could find to put pressure on me to apply for nursing, which I did. I got a position as a student in Temple Street, and I deferred for a year so I could stay working on the farm for a year.
But if that was your real love, Could you not have done something with animals, veterinary assistant, anything?
I wasn't a good enough student. I was too busy exercising ponies in the mornings and working at the weekends, so I wouldn't have had the points. And at the time, there was a farm, an apprenticeship scheme that was run only for fellas. Within a couple of years, it changed. Now, we're talking about the late, you know, mid to late 70s. If I could have done it, that's where I would have gone.
Talk to me a little bit more about the Dominicans. Mm. It sounded like that was a crucial part of your life.
It was. So in Talla at the time, Talla was the main street, and there were two estates, Bancroft Park, where we lived, and Mailroons. It was like Borodove. We were a little village about 7 miles outside of Dublin. A lot of farms, a lot of dairy producing milk for the city. The Dominicans, they had a very, very big building in Talla. It would have been the novitiate for the Dominicans, a huge, huge building, and a church there. They were at the heart of our lives. So everything, the youth club, the junior choir, scouts, all of that, they were organising all of those things, the Talla Choral Society. The students were there. So my mother actually studied Hebrew and theology with the students. She would have been one of the first kind of lay people allowed to study with them. And there was a retreat house there as well. So there was a lot going on. And they had this big farm and a lot of students at the time. I worked in the kitchen as well. There was like the refectories, and you know, there would have been 40 or 50 people living in the priory in Talla at the time.
Your parents were happy with your involvement there?
Oh, they were. They couldn't have done very much to get in the way of it. But my mother, Mammy, also worked for Father Gabriel Harty in the Rosary Crusade. My mother was a lay Dominican, and the priory was her second home. So, yeah, she was very comfortable with my involvement there. And I was employed there and loved it, loved working there.
What was your own faith and belief like at that stage then?
Mary, I suppose my faith has always been very strong since I was very small, very young. I remember having May altars. I had a big picture of Jesus on his knees in my bedroom, Gethsemane, that sort of a picture. I remember when I left Cork, one of the nuns in the school, it was run by the Mercy nuns, and she gave me a Child of Prague. I've always had my relationship with Jesus and Mary and the Holy Spirit, or whatever you want to call that, you know, our Creator, love, whatever it is, has always been strong. Yeah.
That's beautiful. Nursing, how did it go?
We went nursing in 1977. I went to Temple Street and made friends for life. We all lived in the nurses' home at the time. The Sisters of Charity were running the hospital. I was very happy there too. There was a great sense of camaraderie with the nurses. It was hard work at the time. It's very different to what it is now. So the students ran the hospital. There were very few staff nurses, and there was a ward sister. But the students did everything, really. And we had a lot of responsibility, way above what we had the capacity or the experience to manage. But it was a good training in that sense. Yeah.
And Temple Street Children's Hospital is an excellent hospital.
It is. And a very good hospital. Specialities there would have been metabolic illnesses. So babies born with various different metabolic illnesses would have all been transferred there. We had an oncology unit and a renal kidney dialysis unit, as well as a lot of other services, speech therapy and psychology and all of that as well.
Did you stay nursing all your life?
There was an interruption in my training. I met my first husband, Luke, who is a Kerry man, and from here, this place where we're sitting. His sister, Eilish, was in the room next to me. And Eilish, as the Kerry people do, she'd be going home for the weekend, and she'd say, come on, we'll all go down. And there'd be a gang of us. We'd arrive down top of her poor mother, who had a B&B, so she had the space. But we'd arrive down to her for a weekend, and I met Luke, my first husband. I got pregnant, and at the time, we were in that kind of age that if you were pregnant, you had to leave as soon as you started to show a bump, because you were a bad example to the other students. So my baby, my eldest daughter, Lisa, was born on the 29th of August, 1980. Our final year exams were that October, so I couldn't sit them. But they allowed me to go back in January in the following year to finish with the group that came after me. I finished my training and I did my final year exams and I was expecting my second baby at that stage. I was in and out of work after that, but so when the children were very small, I was off for maybe a year or two and then I'd go back. There was always work. I did what they call supper reliefs. I worked from 8 to 12. I worked in the matter in the CT unit as well. I worked in the oncology ward. I worked in different places in the hospital until we moved to Kerry in 1996.
What age were you when you got pregnant?
21. I was just 22 when she was born, yeah.
Was that a difficult time?
It was, yeah, it was, because back then in the late 70s, early 80s, it was still taboo to be pregnant outside marriage. It was difficult for my own parents, my mother especially. I was the only girl and I was the eldest. So she was disappointed, but not the end of the world for her. And it was very difficult for my husband's, my boyfriend at the time, his family. It was very difficult for them. So, yeah, it was tough at the time.
I'm in conversation with Deirdre O'Sullivan. We'll take a short break. Come back to us after this break.